Today we're kicking off a new series as we continued in a part of the 3G series, 3G network that we've started, the God Father, God Son, God the Holy Spirit. We did a series on who is the Holy Spirit, and out of that series we went right into who is the Son that we just finished up, and now today we're going to go into who is the Father. As we are continuing in the series, I am praying that we're not losing a passion to know the Holy Spirit in a greater way in our life. That even though we passed that series and went right into who is the Son and now we went to the Father, I'm hoping that you're connecting the dots, that you're able to see the dots and how they all align up, and that we need to know the full spectrum of the Trinity, knowing that God the Father, His role in our life, and knowing the Son, the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit brings us what good gifts to our life. And as we yield to those gifts and we pray to God, you give us gifts, good things. As He gives us good gifts today, we know this one thing, that every perfect gift from God is what? It's good. It's a good thing, man. So when God gives gifts to the body of Christ, those are good things. We should be seeking them, wanting them to use in our life, that we don't leave gifts unopened, do we? We want to open those gifts. Some of you right now are already thinking about your Christmas gifts already. You know, it's not going to be a long time. You're already laying hints. My kids are good at that, already laying hints already. You can't go to Walmart or anywhere else without them laying hints, or they, you know, we got the DVR, and so they rewind everything. You know, Dad, look at this commercial. That should be a great Christmas gift, you know. And then, so we're already getting there. So we don't leave any gifts unopened. We want all the gifts that God has for us. And that's the way we naturally are. We should be the same way about the spiritual things of God, that I'm praying, God, I want to receive all the gifts that come from you, of your Holy Spirit. Those gifts are what empower me to make a difference in my life. Those gifts are what's going to empower me to walk in a higher dimension. They're going to cause me to be a better husband. They're going to cause me to be a better wife, a better employer, a better spouse, a better Christian. They're going to cause me to have more faith. They're going to cause me to operate in a higher spiritual dimension in my life. And so I want to tap into those. I'm not afraid of any spiritual gift, but I'm opening myself up to all the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives me and operating them. And I'm praying every morning. What am I praying, God? Well, what I get up when I say in the morning, good morning, who? Good morning, Holy Spirit. We're saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. We're going to have a good day today. We talked about who is the Son. We're identifying our Christ as the Son, and that we can identify with our Savior. That our Savior was more than just what He did on the cross. It was everything that had to do with Him coming and being here. That we can relate to Him. That He can relate to us. And that we have an advocate who understands that He's walked in our shoes. That He's faced rejection, hurts, pain. He knows what it is to work and have people working for Him and with Him. He knows what it is to have people who do not like you. He knows what it is to have your family think you're crazy. He knows what it is to have people want to kill you. He knows what it is to have people who are closest to you sell you out. And so He understands everything that we go through in our life, that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who understands who we are. And so that changes the way you pray. When you realize the man you're praying to, the God we're praying to, knows how I feel and understands how I feel. I can pray differently. I can pray with more faith. I can pray and realizing that He is listening and understanding and is working on my behalf to the Father. Now today we're going to start in this series, Who is the Father? Who is the Father? And today we're going to talk about this thought, the Father is good. The Father is good. Psalms 119 and 68. The psalmist said it like this, you are what? Good. Let's say it together. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. This is the attributes of God. That's the very first thing we see really described to God. And this is described over and over about God as we see this, that God is good. It's one of the first things we learn as a kid. Remember that first prayer you learn over your food? We say, God is what? Good. God is great. And we thank Him for this food. I mean, it's one of the first things we learn. And I think that even in church, I would tell you this, even in church, and I've been guilty of this, that we hear this phrase, God is good, and we become almost desensitized to it because we've heard it so much. It's just another catchphrase. It's just another word. God is good. You know, yeah, I've heard that. And so we have a tendency to overlook the importance that God is good. And we have a tendency to overlook that this is the nature of God. The very nature of God is that He is a good God. And so some things I want to talk to you about God being good. Number one, the Father is completely good. Knowing that God is good, first of all, the Father is completely good. God is fully good. He is not partially good. You and I, we are partially good. We also got some partial bad, don't we? We have some problems, and one of the things about God is God isn't just good. He is completely good. He is fully good. He wasn't just man. He was fully man. He wasn't just God. He was fully God. He isn't just good. He is fully good. And so realizing this, that our nature of being good does not comprehend to what God's nature is good, because we're only limited in our goodness. You and I are limited to the potential of goodness that we have. But God is not limited in his goodness. The Father is completely good. He is goodness. And I want to show you something that I read, and it really just popped out to me. I believe that it will for you as well. Moses asked God to show him his glory. Remember that verse when Moses said, God, I want you to show me your glory. Now, what do you think about when you hear the word glory? And I want to make it to you in terms that we can define today that are very well to understand. And what did this say? If I say the word Michael Jordan, what do you think about? If I say Tiger Woods, what do you think about? Why is that? Because these are the things that they got glory for, were the things they did what? They do best. The things they do best are the things they received glory for. And so when we translate this, where Moses was really asking was, God, show me what you're really about. God, show me, what are you best at? Show me your glory. And look at what Exodus 33:18-19 says. And he said, please show me your glory. And then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. Moses said, God, show me what you're really best at. God, show me what you really are about, the attributes I can really hang on to. And look how God responded to Moses. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. We see that God said that he is known for what? His goodness. This is what God proclaimed to Moses. When Moses asked to see his glory, he says, I'm going to show you and proclaim my goodness. Exodus 34:6-7 says it like this. This is the event actually happened. It said, then the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and what? Abounding. Isn't it interesting he put that word abounding in goodness? Abounding in goodness. What does that mean? It means overflowing in goodness. Now he said he's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, but he's overflowing in goodness and truth, keeping mercies for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So why is God good? Why does God do the things? Why does God do these things? Why is God long-suffering? Why is God merciful? Why is God gracious? Why is God infinite? He's infinite. He knows no bounds. He knows no measure. Why is he infinite? Why can't you measure his goodness? He's an infinite God. You can't measure his goodness because he's good. He's omnipotent. He has all power. Why is that? Because he's all good. His goodness is never limited by his power. He's omnipotent. He has all power. His goodness is not limited by his power. You and I, our goodness is limited by our power that we have. He is just. Why is God just? Because his goodness is impartial. His goodness is not partial. It is impartial. His goodness is for all those who want to receive it. He is omnipresent. Why is he omnipresent? Because his goodness is everywhere for everyone. His goodness cannot change. He is so good that he can't get any gooder, can he? That's a good statement right there, isn't it? I know it's not grammatically correct, but God is so good, he can't get any gooder. Satan always points out his works. You ever notice that? As Satan comes to us and he points out his works, this is what cracks me up about Satan. And we fall for it so many times in our life. As Satan will come to us and he'll cause all this trouble, and then he'll point to this trouble and say, well, if God was really good, he wouldn't allow this to happen. And it's the very thing that Satan caused to happen that he tries to put the blame on God and get us to think, you know what, God's not really that good. If God was really good, why would he allow this to happen? Come on now, we know what's going on. Satan wants to take our attention off of the goodness of God. He wants you to think that God isn't really good, that God's not true to what he says. Satan wants to intimidate us and get us distracted. So therefore, we got to realize this, number two, we were created because of the Father is good. We were created because the Father is good. James 1, 17 and 18. Look what it says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now listen, why is this important? Because God is good, we were created. Let me ask you this, did we deserve to be created? Did we deserve to be created? Let me ask you another way. What did we do to deserve to be created? We hadn't done anything, had we? You and I, we did absolutely nothing we deserved. Mankind had nothing to do with being created. We wasn't so good, God. You know, we had to be good after we were created. So therefore, there was nothing we did on our own that deserved for us to be created. Then why were we created? Why were we created? Every good gift and perfect comes from above. Because God is good, we were created. Because God, that's how good our God is. He's so good, he created us even when we didn't deserve to be created. He created us. Why were we not destroyed after we committed sins? Why wasn't Adam and Eve destroyed? Why wasn't you and I destroyed when we turned our back on God or rejected God, when we failed God miserably? Why weren't you and I destroyed right then and there from a just God? Because God is what? He's good. He's good. We can't imagine the goodness of God because we don't have the mind to comprehend it. Because God is good. Why did God die for me even though I rejected him? Why did God die for me? Why did he stand in my place even though I did nothing for him? Why? Because the very nature of who he is goodness. It overflows in everything that he does. Everything that he is. Our God is a good God. And he's just not good. He is good. There's a difference. He doesn't just act good. He is good. He doesn't just show kindness. He is kindness. He doesn't just show mercy. He is mercy. And it all stems to the fact that our God is good. He's a good God. So many of us have a hard time picturing this good God because maybe we had a rough relationship maybe with your parent or a non-existent parent growing up. And so therefore we relate the Heavenly Father to our own personal father. Or maybe you relate your parent or a lack of it there with the father. So you just can't relate to God the Father. And when you do see him, you see him as a distance God. Someone who doesn't really care about me or doesn't want to be involved in my life. Or someone who has nothing but just wants to hammer me all the time when I'm wrong. That's the wrong picture of God. Let me tell you, our God is good. He's good, and we cannot comprehend that. But we got to start to realize it, realizing how good our God is. When you realize this, that we were created because of what? Because God is good. Then it changes the way you read these scriptures. I'm going to read the scripture. Something we've always looked at, and I bet you never looked at it this way before. Genesis 1, 1 through 4. The very beginning in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light and it was what? God saw the light and it was what? Good. Look what kids didn't say, 10 and 12. And God called the dry land earth. And in gathering together the waters, he called the seas. And God saw it and he called it good. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields the seeds according to its kind, and the trees that yield the fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw it, and it was good. Look what it says in 17 and 18. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it, and it was good. Look what verse 21 says. So God created the great sea and the creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abound according to their kind and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it and it was. Look what verse 25 says. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, the cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it and it was. good. In verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was good. Why is this important? Because we realize that when God creates something, what was he creating it to be? A reflection of who he was. God was made in creation. So when God looks at it and says, that's good. Why is that? Because he is creating it to be a reflection of him. So when we look in scripture and see that everything that God created was good, it was good for a purpose because it was reflecting his nature. Wow. It wasn't that God just created, hey, that's pretty good. It wasn't my son bringing home an artwork that really wasn't maybe, you know, at preschool that you think, you know, he could have stayed in the lines, been a little bit better, you know. But you're like, oh, it's so precious, you know. It wasn't that. This was good, man, I'm telling you. God looked at it and said, man, no, this is good. Now, that's good. What I created here, it was good. God looked at all his creation and said, it is good. Except for one thing. What did he say was not good? Anybody know what God said wasn't good creation? He looked at man and said, that's not good. That man's alone. Look at him run through the garden with some scissors right there. We got to do something about this right here. God looked at man and said, that's not good. He's alone. There's something going to happen here. We got to do something to protect this guy. So he's not going to create woman. This is going to be good for him, okay? We need women in his life. And so God looked at that and said, it is good. It is good. God's goodness is shown in his creation. First, it was flawed. The first creation was flawed when the sin was entered into the garden. When sin entered the garden, this creation became flawed. And so what did God do? Did he destroy us all because Adam and Eve sinned? No, he was good. And his creation was good, but it became flawed. So what did he do? He created what? A second Adam. And his name was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was what? He was good. He was so good, he became the spotless Lamb of God that we've been studying about. He became our Savior we've been talking about, our Son. He sent his Holy Spirit in him. Man, he was good. Our God is good that he sent his Holy Spirit. Our God was good that he sent his Son, the second Adam, and says, this is good. He's well pleased. He was well pleased. And then he looks at you and I now, and he says, what? We are, what? A new creation. I mean, all the old things are past. All things are made new. We are a new creation. And God looks at us as a new creation and says, we are good. Wow. The goodness of our God is so uncomprehendable. We were created because he is simply good. Creation was created to reflect who he was. In reflection of creation, it says what? Our God is good. And number three, we must choose the Father's goodness. It's a choice we must make to choose the Father's goodness. Look what Romans 11:22 says. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity. But towards you, goodness. If any of you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. So it's up to you and I to continue in what? God's goodness. That we can walk out of the goodness of God. But God's goodness is there. And we can continue in that. It's a choice we must make every day. It's something we must do. It's a choice. That when I get up today, say, you know what? I'm going to walk in the goodness of God. I'm going to walk in the Father's goodness. Now listen, if we don't do that, we're going to walk in a lot of other things. I'm going to walk without His Holy Spirit. I'm going to be very, very weak that day. I'm probably going to be very short on my patience. Probably going to be very quick to anger. I'm probably going to have words come out of my mouth that are not very good. I'm probably going to do things on the road that are probably very hazardous. When I walk out of the house, when I leave without God's goodness, I'm setting myself up for disaster. But when I get up and say, God, good morning, Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior. Today, God, I'm going to walk in all your goodness. I'm going to walk in all your goodness in my life. I'm choosing today to walk in the goodness of the Father. God, you are good. and you have good gifts for me and my family. You have good things for me and my family. God, you have good things for my life. God, you have good things for my children. You have good things for my marriage. You have good things for my job. You have good things for my health. You have good things for my life. I got to get up and declare I'm going to walk in the goodness of God. It's a declaration. It's a choice that I'm going to choose to follow after God and all of his goodness. Isn't it interesting in the Bible, as you've heard me teach before, that as we were given a choice in the garden, we had one bad choice and all these good choices in our life. All these good choices God gave. God said, man, this whole garden is for you. You can eat of any tree you want. You can have anything you want, man. This is all for you. It's all good. It's all good. God said, only one bad thing, though. And that one bad thing, don't eat of that tree. And isn't it our nature that if we're not careful, that we'll very much do the same thing Adam and Eve did every day? We'll get up, and God's given us all this goodness, all these blessings, all these things he wants to give to our life. But instead of choosing to do the good thing, instead of choosing to walk in the goodness of God, we'll get up and say, I think I'll choose the bad thing today. And we'll ignore that, and we'll choose the very one bad thing and go that way. Why is that? We got to get back to and say, God, I want to choose to walk in your goodness. God, I am choosing to be obedient to your word. God, I'm choosing to make a choice to walk in the abundance of your goodness. God, you are good. You are good. Look what Matthew 7:11 says. If you then, being evil. Now, isn't that a great way for Jesus to boost our ego right there? Isn't that great? I just think that's kind of funny. I'm sorry. I see that. This is Jesus talking to us. Jesus said, if you then, being evil. Every once in a while, Jesus had to give us a little stab there, okay? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who what? Those who what? There it is. To those who ask him. So when I get up tomorrow morning, I want to say, God, I want every good thing you have for me and my family. God, I'm asking that my family would walk in goodness. God, I'm asking that my children, when they go to school, they would walk in favor of your goodness. God, I'm asking that when I go to my job tomorrow, I would walk in favor of goodness. God, I want to walk in goodness. It's a choice I make, and I'm asking, God, I want the good things you have for me. God, I want every spiritual gift that you have for me and my family. God, I want everything. I don't want to be left short. I want to walk in the goodness of God. And we have a hard time comprehending this because in our own, we don't see that as resourcefulness. Because I only have so much good. I mean, I have a hard enough time with 5 children, okay? I have a hard enough time with, I seen a lady Friday night in the parking lot. I won't go into the story, but man, she wasn't being very good to her children. And her and I had a conversation. I'll leave it at that. But let me just tell you this. I understand sometimes that, man, it's hard to be good with all 5 of my children. Sometimes I don't have enough goodness in me. I've been stretched out and my patience is thin and, you know, and I can get very angry at times or I can get very short tempered and lose it sometimes and snap and raise my voice because I have a hard time understanding goodness because I just can't I've only got so much goodness to go around, John. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And some of you take it out of me so much I don't have any left for my family. So I have to just go home. Play it. I only have so much, and so I have a hard time understanding this concept because I only have, even when I really, really try hard, I only have so much goodness. But God is unlimited in his goodness. That he's got enough for my life and your life and my family and your family. And not just here in Joplin, but around the Missouri and around the force and around the United States and around the nations and around the world. His goodness is unlimited. And we cannot comprehend that and never will be able to comprehend that fully. But it comes with faith that I believe that God is good. And if I'll ask of him, he will give me good things. When my children ask of me, I want to do good things for them. Even though sometimes I know they don't deserve it, I still like to do good things for them. And so he says, if I'm evil in my sin nature, and I still want to do good things for my kids, how much more does God want to do good things for me, being his nature of who he is? His whole nature is what? Goodness. His whole creation was in goodness. He reflected goodness. Moses said, show me your glory. And he said, I'm going to show you my glory. It's abounding in what? Goodness. God is good. Satan tries to get us to judge the goodness of God. And this is a trap we got to be careful in. Because who are you and I to judge the goodness of God? Really, I mean, you ever heard someone say, who died and made you judge? You know, that's made you king, whatever. You know, you and I, we don't have that ability on our own to judge the goodness of God. We can't comprehend it. So therefore, what makes us qualified to be a judge of goodness of God? And Satan comes to us, and like I was saying earlier, that he'll stir up things. He'll stir up trouble and then point to the trouble and say, well, if God was good, that wouldn't happen. No, if you and I were good, that wouldn't happen. If you and I would get to walk in his goodness, that wouldn't happen. If you and I would get on the same page with God, some of those things could be avoided. And Satan knows that, but Satan stirs up the trouble because he's the father of lies. He comes back and says, this trouble is from God. And he's got people all around the world today that are looking at Christianity. Their one defense against is this. Well, if it really was a God, then why does bad things happen? That's what they say. That's their one defense. They really try to say, well, if God was really a just God, why does he allow these bad things to happen? I say, these things didn't happen because of God. These things happened because you and I were ungood. And we allowed the sinful nature to be released through Satan in the garden. And it's been an ongoing problem ever since. And Satan stirs up things. He stirs up things and then points it and says, you know what? If God was good, no, we got to get past that, our eyes, and realize, you know what? Our God is completely good. Everything comes from him is completely good. That our God is good is Satan and us who stir up the trouble. There was a story about a missionary to India. She was a missionary to India for 55 years. Her name was Amy Carmichael. And when Amy Carmichael was a young child, a girl, she had brown eyes. And Amy Carmichael hated the fact she had brown eyes because everybody else on her block had blue eyes. Everybody in her family had blue eyes, but yet she ended up with brown eyes. And so she used to praise the little girl, God, please change my eyes and make them blue. God, please, I want my eyes to be blue. You remember those prayers those kids used to pray, God, just make me taller. Or God, just make me, you know, this is her prayer. God, please, if you, I know you can do it. God, just change my eyes to blue. She wanted so bad for her eyes to be blue. Many years later, as she went to the mission field in India, she started a underground program to rescue girls sold into prostitution and sexual slaves. And so what she would do was she would penetrate their circle and get into the network. And how she got into the network, she took coffee grounds, and she would use the coffee grounds and dye her skin with the coffee grounds and turn her skin dark. And as she turned her skin dark, one day she was doing this, and she would go in, and she would rescue these girls and pull them out one at a time. She saved thousands of girls over the years and brought them out of that prostitution ring, out of sexual slavery. And one day she was dyeing her skin brown to look like the Indians, and she looked in the mirror and saw her brown eyes. And she goes, God, you know what? Every Indian woman has what? Brown eyes. God, you are so good. You knew exactly what I needed to be in my life, even down to the eye color that I deserved and needed, because you knew the work I'd be doing even today. This was a long time before they had different color of lenses, contact lenses. God took care of it. There's a saying that we used to say when I was a kid. We said it all the time. We know what it is today. It says, God is what? God is good. And people would say back, what? All the time. God is what? God is good. And I'll be honest with you, when I heard that statement when I was a kid, it used to drive me crazy. I thought, this is another one of those cheesy things we just say at church. I'm being honest. I don't think I've ever thought that before. You know, come on. I was like, man, I just want to quit saying all these cheesy things. God is good. God all the time. God is, you know. I tell you now, as I understand, God is good. It changes my perspective. It changes the way I see things. He's just not good. He is good. Let's bow our heads. Today, if you're here this morning and maybe you're visiting with us, or maybe you've been here for a long time, doesn't make a difference. See, Pastor, you're talking about the goodness of the Father. And in my head, maybe I've had a problem getting over this thought of God being good, and I've struggled with it in my life. But today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want to accept his goodness in my life. Today, I'm ready to get right with him. I never like to close out a service without giving you this chance today to say, you know what? If I die today, I want to make sure heaven's my home. I want to start a new relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today, no one's looking around but me. But can you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ today in my heart. I will not embarrass you in any way, but I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here, can you raise your hand high? I want to make sure you have that chance today to make things right before you leave today. Anybody here? Let's all stand this morning then. As you stand today, my prayer is today that our eyes are open to the goodness of God. And we will choose to walk in God's goodness. It's a choice. And that God has done everything he can to show us his goodness. God has done everything he can to point out his goodness to us, to reflect his goodness to us, to identify his glory to us. But it's up to you and I to identify it, to recognize it, to honor it, and say, you know what? God, you are good. And I'm going to love you even more because as I understand more about your nature, as I understand more about the fullness of who you are, I realize that goodness is just everything you are. And everything that comes from you, the blessings that you have for my life, the rewards you have for my life, everything that you have for me, the prayers that are answered, everything, it comes because of what? Because you're good. It comes out of God's goodness. We serve a good God. And I'm praying today that this will begin to change your relationship with him as you see him for the fullness of his goodness. We're going to close this course today, and we're going to declare with our hearts that he is good. Come on, now, let's sing it together.
Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to yourself. Your mercy calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You are good, your mercy.